Hey, y'all. Welcome to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. If you've ever wondered how relationships are approached from another perspective, this is your relationship roadmap. Today, we're in part three of Moving for Your Mate, and our tour guides are still Charisse and Torino, Hassan and Tiffany, and KC, who is no longer the silent partner. Welcome to the show, y'all.
Hey.
Thanks for coming back for another part. Okay, so for all the newbies out there, the ground rules are as follows. There are no right or wrong answers. Debate is welcome. Keep it clean, keep it real, but most importantly, have fun. So let's go ahead and clink our neighbors. I think we're the only ones having grown folks cocktails today, but.
Oh, we ain't got nothing bougie though.
All right, we don't have our Perrier. Like our bougie brother and sister out there, Hassan and Tiffany. All right, so real quick to recap, like I said, this is part three of Moving for Your Mate, and we covered a lot of ground in one and two. If you didn't get a chance to listen, definitely go back and hear what's up. There are three married couples on this series, and we have all experienced significant moves, either across the country or in some cases across the ocean to be with our mate or for our mate's pursuits. And some of the things that we experienced happened prior to being married. Some moved before they were married. Some moved afterwards, after years had been invested in their relationships. And so definitely catch up on those two pieces if you miss them. But one thing that we haven't had a chance to really wrap up was the conversation about neutral territory. So obviously the opposite of moving into somebody else's, place where they have roots and where they've occupied. The opposite of that is something that's neutral, that's new for both of you. And I just wanted to explore that conversation a little bit more. In parts one or two, can't remember. Maybe it was two because KC got to talk. we talked about how Tiffany and Hassan had done, it sounded like a conscious decision to have a date somewhere that neither one of you lived. So can you go back and say a little bit quickly about where you both lived at the time? And then where did you go and why did you feel like that was an important thing to do?
Basically, I didn't want to run into none of her past and I didn't want her running into none of mine. On the quick side, it was like, well, let's find a neutral ground. That way we don't have to worry about cross-pollinating our past. At the same time, we didn't have to run into familiar friends to explain what we're doing, And so when you've grown, you don't have those evolutions of, conversations with people that you don't want to have to engage with, and you can focus on each other without having to worry about, well, who is this and who is that? And, oh, that's my past. And let's go somewhere separate and let's have fun just us, because we'll be just together because we won't know anybody, in the sense if you don't, run into anybody that you happen to know.
And mind you, it was our first date. So it was not running into your past or even quasi present, because we were in the very early stages of getting to know each other and connecting or reconnecting. So, we weren't exclusive at that point. So in order to be on, a level playing field, if you will, I think it was really important for us to be in a space where we could just be with each other, because Seattle unto itself, because we both have connections here, it's almost inevitable to not run into somebody, right? Especially because the Black community out here is so small. And then you whittle that down into where you went to school. And then it,
how small is it?
It is so small.
We talk about this all the time, how small the Black community is.
So then we went to Disneyland because literally we were going to either go to Chicago or we were going to go to LA. And the reason why we chose LA is that summer, particularly the summer before we went on our first date in October, I had taken my niece to Disneyland. Wait. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we just chose Disneyland because I had tickets, extra tickets.
Nice. So practicality. But I like the thoughtfulness, the intentionality behind why you decided to move that way. That makes a lot of sense. Casey, yeah. Do you want to say anything about, you know, the neutral first date we had?
It was kind of the same thing where...
And we did go to Chicago.
We went to Chicago.
So that's funny.
It was kind of twofold. Number one, I was working. I had to work that weekend. And we had been corresponding, you know, via, you know, social media and video for a while. So this is our first official date. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'm like, look, I'm going to be in Chicago. Would you mind meeting me? I was going to be there for the weekend. So that way we could have more than just a day to kind of figure out if we can get through this weekend, we may be good. It's going to be a nice weekend or we're going to, you know, this is going to end real quick. And so, she thought I wasn't serious until I bought her a ticket.
That's serious.
So.
That's a lot of ticket to say you're serious.
Yeah, because.
I was like, oh, we're really going to go to Chicago. Got you.
Yeah, because, and it was kind of like the same thing where, you know, we were both kind of still feeling each other out. You know, everybody has a past. But at the same time, we were talking every day, all day. And so my thing was, look, I want to actually see you and make sure that this is something that, because there's certain things you can get on a screen. There's certain things you get on the phone. There's certain things you got to get in person.
Yep.
You got to look at them in their eyes. You gotta,
yes, there are certain things that you have to get in person.
Oh my
God. I remember thinking, you know, if some of those things line up, we're legit.
Yeah.
Because I like you on all the other levels.
Yeah, the cool thing about it was, like, you know, even her parents, because I had been, you know, they had been seeing me on the screen. And in fact, her mom was like, well, make sure you pack your good underwear.
You know? Oh, Mama Shirley.
She did say that.
She did say that.
Oh, you
know, but, ain't a
draw priority
better than no draw. So it's whatever you bring.
but even then, it was kind of cool because even for us, that was like some truly first memories, because when we got there, it was a lot of funny stuff that happened that to this day, you know, was like, you know, and I was kind of cool about it because even then where we were staying, I wasn't sure where we were staying because, like I said, I was working. So, you know, my boss had kind of made the reservations. And we had like the dope hotel. It was overlooking, it was downtown Chicago, overlooking the skyline. Awesome. We were like up on the 30th floor. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if nothing else, I'm getting points. Yes. Off of, you know, my presentation alone. So even if she don't choose me, you losing out, chica. You know?
Right, exactly.
Don't miss your blessing.
Don't miss your blessing. Don't hit chica.
Right.
So yeah, it was a wonderful first date. Obviously, I kept you, so it worked out well. Do you have anything you want to add about neutral territory?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Tiffany said, because, you know, we met in Washington, and although I'm not from Washington, I went to school in Washington, and I remember when I brought him around. Some of my friends, just some of the, just more of my past and a person I dated in college and his friend.
What about it?
We all know him.
Yeah, what about it?
it was like crazy. And I'm like, man, I wish that we could have met somewhere else, because, you know, people had all kind of opinions about, you know, Tori is, although he's not white, he's not black. And so people had all kind of opinions about me not dating a black man. And I'm like, dude, whatever, you know? So it was just, I mean, it came from places that I didn't expect it to. And so I was like, wow, you know who I am and you know what I'm about. And so for you to have an issue about who I'm dating, even if he was white, like for you to have an opinion about who I'm dating and just sort of disregard who I am and what I stand for, it hurt a lot. So
you know what they say about opinions. They're like,
yep, everyone got one.
Everybody's got one. Most of the time they stink.
Now you can tell it didn't work, so we're still together. But But yeah, it was quite the interesting encounter. So.
Yeah, God bless you, Tori, for sticking through all of that. You're a good man. For that, acquaint your neighbor. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Traveler's Guide to Venus with Princess Robin. And we are in part three of Moving for Your Mate. We're talking with Charisse and Torino, or as I like to call him, Tori, Hassan and Tiffany and Casey. And we're kind of focused today on the notion of neutral territory. So I want to kind of pick up on something that specifically was named in Hassan and Tiffany's recount of their first date. And, you know, there's this whole thing about people's past. So we've been referring to it in the first two parts as roots, right? There, and that's legit. Somebody has roots where you move to, you know, one of you grew up there, one of you has family, or one of you has a job and, you know, places you like to go and things like that. And the other one is brand new. But there is also history that comes with those roots. And, you know, what's that like encountering the past when you're the newbie moving into somebody else's territory? Mm. Anybody want to speak on it? I'm going to write about it in my book. ain't enough time to talk about it in this episode, so I'm just going to listen to you.
So very quickly. So I believe in creating space, right? Physical space, mental space, emotional space. When you have two people coming together, and especially when you're still kind of getting to know, you have to kind of remove the blockers, any interference that might cloud the picture. And I think you have to be intentional about that. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, when we started dating, I knew it was serious after the first date. I literally had to send some text messages. I was like, I need you to not call me or text me anymore because I am in a relationship and I want to give it my undivided attention. Because it's worth it to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was in my, you know, some of you know, I've been married before. So I was very, very centered on what I wanted at that point. So I was a mature 30-something-year-old, right? I had lived some life. I had gone through some things. And so I was more informed about what it takes and what it doesn't take. If you will. So then when I moved to Charlotte and I'm in Hassan's space, I'm in his city. He's been there at that point for what, 10, 11 years. He had history, right? And so I was pretty forthright in like, you need to create space because we had some, a particular relationship that was crowding my space. And it was interfering with my ability to really get to connect with him just without any other distractions. And so that we could be in a neutral space to the best of our ability and us trying to grow and get to know each other mentally, emotionally, spiritually, et cetera. And mm-hmm. So I think it's necessary. And if you ever feel that your space is being crowded, I would say, articulate that, say that, be honest about it. Because if you really are dedicated to the relationship and you want it to work, you have to give each other the space that is needed, that's mm-hmm. needed in order to make that happen. And so that's kind of my experience.
Wow. That's awesome.
Well, that's deep. I had to write it down. So I missed the claim, but I did write it down. That's going in the book too, Tiff. That's awesome. speak your truth. So I want to talk a little bit about, well, does anybody have anything to add before mm-hmm. we move on to something else?
That was one thing. Yeah. I think that's awesome. But I had a similar situation, and Tori was married before, you know, I had a stepson. And so although we didn't live in the same city we did eventually live in the same city because we got stationed in Savannah, but it was hard because I didn't know him when he was married to her. I didn't know their life before. And I really felt that there was a lot of animosity. And so I really had to just be humble and know that that was for her to deal with. And I never got in the way of Tori and his relationship with her or their son, because I didn't think that was my place. But I also had to say, but this right here, this is us, and I won't be disrespected. You know, like, she doesn't have to like me. That's fine. I'm not trying to be TJ's mom, but she needs to respect that I'm your wife now. And, you know, and that, and so it, I mean, actually ended up working, and her and I are friends, but it took some time and it was weird because I had never been in a situation like that. So I really respect you and what you said, because that takes a lot, that does take a lot of speaking up and knowing your truth and knowing what you want and not being afraid to say, this is what I want. I'm willing to work and hard for it, but you've got to also be willing to meet me halfway. So I, man, my respect for you just went through the ceiling. So,
amen.
That's great.
MVP, Tiff.
Yeah, from a woman's perspective, I was kind of on the other side of that, where, you know, she was coming into my world. I'm co-parenting, and my youngest daughter is with us a lot. And even then, you know, girls are daddy's girls. And there was those situations where I'm trying to let them know, this is where I'm moving. We're moving forward. I need you guys to, if nothing else, respect. And at one point, not my youngest, but, you know, a couple of the others, they kind of, you know, was trying to kind of stand their ground. And I'm like, you're more than happy to stand your ground. But let me explain something to you right now. Don't force me to choose, because you're not going to like the choice that I made. Because, and that's when I was going by scripture, and I'm very religious. I mean, I'm very spiritual. I'm not religious, but I'm very spiritual. And if I'm going to be with this person, then they come before everyone else. Mm-hmm. So let me make sure you are my children and I love you to death. But this is who I'm looking forward to being my wife and my mm-hmm. partner. So if I'm going to start moving forward in that way, I've got to start acting like that now, not once we get married, but, you know, in the process of getting there. So, you know, and it was a little testy at one, you know, at first. But at the same time, they understood, you know, whether they liked it or not, where I stood. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, I love you all, but I'm entitled to be happy too. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want you all to be happy. You want me to support you. All I want is your support. If I don't get it, that's fine, because I'm still going to be me.
Wow. Well, that's a quick neighbor. for any listeners, everything's good. Mm. We're good. Everything works out.
Happy family now.
But I want to say, you know, like, I think it's really important to highlight which you just said, Casey, and what Tiffany said is, you know, there is a bit of, what do you call it? Like, you have to be strong in your constitution about being, you know, forthright. Look, let me be clear. This is where I'm headed. This is where we're going. And making space for your mate who's coming to you. And, you know, also articulating your needs as the person who's coming in. Look, I feel crowded on this particular. And without those two pieces, I think there is room for problem that, you know, with the transition. That's what I'm hearing in this conversation, and certainly what I feel like I've experienced in my experience. And, you know,
it's just like you said, in the romantic comedy, you just got to say what you got to say.
That was what I said.
Oh, yeah, you
said that. Was what I
was saying. Yeah. Why don't you just
play it? Don't blow it,
even romantic.
Yeah, don't blow it, bro. You can mess around and stuff to it. Now we got a whole nother discussion about listening.
I'm back for the next episode. So, you know, let's kind of, you know, smooth it up a little bit. So there's some of the big pieces of moving into some territory, you know, confronting their past and making your space in those, you know, the past. I think it's important to acknowledge it's not something you're trying to erase. It's just something that you're trying to integrate. You know, I don't even like to say integrate into, because I come with a past too. I just have my past more rooted somewhere else that it's not in everybody's face here, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, let's talk a little bit about the physical space. So also in past episodes, we talked about Tiffany and Hassan. When you first relocated Tiff to North Carolina, you didn't move in with Hassan. Casey, you talked about the importance of, you know, like, making our home feel like our home, not your house that I was moving into. And Sharice and Tori, you may have some, you know, things to say about this too. let's talk about what that home space feels like when, you know, you're coming into somebody else's space. Again, I'm putting mine in my book. I think that. You can I'm going to let y'all talk.
So you want to say something? You ain't said nothing yet.
Oh, so you just trying to pass the buck on me? I got it. Sir. Okay. So for us, it was a little bit different because we lived together in Seattle. Then I ended up going away for training and getting stationed somewhere else. She ended up joining me. So it's not like we consciously made the effort to have our separate spaces. Uncle Sam helped us considerably. So she had her apartment here in Seattle, and I lived in Clarksville, Tennessee. Once she finished all her training and she joined me, I don't think it was so much. This was our first place really together in a new city. So I had it already set up for her. I got there like 3 months earlier, got the house or the townhouse, got the furniture set up. And I asked her for her input as soon as she got there. And let me tell you now, I didn't have to ask because she made it her own real quick. She goes, oh, no, that's got to go. That's got to go. Hey, we're going to put this here. Put that
here. Good at articulating.
Oh, yeah, she was very good. All I say is, yes, dear. Okay, dear. Whatever you like, dear.
And you've been married for 20 plus years, so it was.
It's work. But, I mean, for us, it, like I said, it was just totally different because we were able to move to a new city to both of us, where we neither one of us had a past or roots. And we are able to grow ourselves as a couple, as a married, newly married couple. And that was the fun part for me. That is what I really enjoyed because everything was a first for us in the area together. Because for those 3 months, I didn't do a whole lot. I'll be honest with you. I wanted to experience it with her.
Because you miss Charisse and you wrote her all those letters that she talked
about. I did. I wrote her every day. She got a letter from me just about every day.
That was so sweet.
I put it out one day. I was like, I wrote her 14 letters, one word in a letter, put it in the mailbox. And hopefully she got it each day where it said, hey, I miss and love you dearly. It could have said, I dearly love, hate you. You know, I don't know what order she got it in, but.
I thought you just sent a letter every day, like, hey.
See, Amazon, that is not cool.
That's hella romantic. You just spelled out, I love you.
I want to give Brother Casey a second to say something. So what was the importance for you about creating a neutral space where, you know, a home for us that wasn't your house that I was moving into? Anything you want to wrap with?
I just want to, my main thing was because we were, you know, not just combining our lives, but combining our families. So the most important thing was making sure that overall our children, which were going to be, you know, joining, make sure that they were comfortable. Everyone still had their space and had their lane and they can still be themselves. Mm-hmm. So in looking for a place, and it was kind of like what Toya did. It's like we were already married, but she was, you know, still in Seattle, but I knew she was coming. So it was like, okay, we got to find a place for us that you can bring your furniture, your pictures, your, you know, all your knickknacks and things like that. So where we can start building a new situation, not just, hey, this is all my stuff. And you just, you know, you got like a little box over here. No. You know, so that was the main thing for me was making sure that when she came in, it felt like home and not like she was visiting.
I want to say thank you for that. I really appreciate that you had that insight because I totally underestimated how important that was going to be when I came. I didn't realize the impact it was going to have. I mean, it's significant. It's very significant.
It is significant. You know, I didn't have the same luxury of that moment and experience to know about the significance of the shared space. because every aspect of my space was eradicated. I had a house, and when she came, I didn't have a house anymore. I lived as a bachelor, unlike Casey. I didn't have any children. Unlike Tori, I wasn't put into the same space. But ultimately, I was left with a pillow and my clothes. Everything else was Tiffany's.
And Tim said, "You're welcome, brother. You're welcome that you get."
And to the point that I owned my house when we married. I don't own it anymore. I had to sell it. She still has her house. Literally eradicated every present in my existence. Yeah. So I'm still waiting for that shared space.
MVP. Tiffany Kirkland is the MVP of this episode. You know, we're totally out of time, everybody, so I'm going to have to wrap this up. But I want to thank the tour guides, Hassan, Tiffany, Sharice, Torino, KC, with your loud phone. Thank you so much for producing the show, which you can edit that out.
Yes, I can.
Thank you for producing the show. Thank you for the theme music. Thanks for being my partner, crime. Totally worth moving for you. Now you can catch up on Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin at your leisure on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, and a number of other podcast platforms. So please subscribe and support if you like what you hear. Remember to follow us on Facebook, Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. On Instagram, it's at Just Princess Robin. And thank you for joining us. And remember, regardless of what the roadmap says, you've got to follow your own heart. Until next week, smooches.